They're a vibrant yellow and black and can parachute on a balloon made from their own spider silk. While they sound super freaky,
its fangs are so small that it probably will not be able to get its fangs into you even if it wanted to.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
So I'm looking at just
spiders, of course.
I just Googled it, Deb. Look at this thing.
I don't wanna.
No,
thank you. Oh, but don't worry. He won't really be able to get his fangs into you. Oh,
it can just parachute
out
to your head.
Yeah. Can you slap a saddle on that bad boy and ride around? You know?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Hey, quick reminder.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff online that you're going to want to check out. We've got the guy stealing the brisket from a neighborhood in Eau Claire.
The brisket bandit.
Guy walked up to a smoker and just heisted a brisket out of there.
12 pounds of deliciousness stolen.
Text the word heist to 855-616-1620. Wait, that's the other one.
You're getting them mixed up. Bandit. If you text the word bandit,
okay,
then you'll get the video of the brisket bandit.
What do I get if I text heist?
You'll get our AI version of the Giannis Antetokounmpo heist movie that he apparently is producing. So we wanted to know what that movie would be about, and we've got a great synopsis from ChatGPT, thanks to Pancake, who typed that in.
Okay, so text both heist and bandit. Those are different stories.
Yes, and they're both delicious.
They're both delicious.
855-616-1620. Hey, Hunter Biden's federal gun trial today. The jury could hear deeply personal witness testimony. Prosecutors expected to call Hunter Biden's ex-wife and other family members to the stand. Now, the president's son pleaded not guilty to allegations he lied about his drug use on a federal form in order to buy a gun back in 2018.
In an intense day of opening statements, prosecutors used Hunter Biden's own voice as a key piece of evidence in their case against the president's son. First Lady Jill Biden, sitting behind him as an FBI agent, played clips from Hunter Biden's 2021 audiobook of his memoir, Beautiful Things, in which he details his crack addiction the same year he bought the gun at the center of the case.
Hunter's ex-wife next up on the witness list, then Hallie Biden, his late brother's widow. The First Lady was there in court yesterday.
At one point, members of the Biden family, it was a hard day for them. His sister Ashley was in court, and she grew emotional, started dabbing her eyes with a tissue. And the First Lady Jill Biden, their mother, who turned 73 yesterday on the first day of her son's trial, comforted her. This is a tough case for them to listen to because the facts are grim.
Yeah, more deeply personal testimony expected today.
I think the other interesting thing about this whole case is another source of evidence for the prosecution is the Hunter Biden laptop. Which, remember, we were told there was that letter with here's how Politico wrote it. More than 50 former senior intelligence officials have signed on to a letter outlining their belief that the recent disclosure of emails allegedly belonging to Joe Biden's son has all the classic earmarks of Russian information operation or disinformation, as the case were. Remember, told, that's not the laptop. You can't verify that. That's not whatever. Now they're using it as evidence. So I guess it was for real. 7:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
So good news or bad news?
I like bad news first, typically.
Well, the Brewers didn't bring their offense on their road trip.
Boy, it seems not.
That's the bad news. Only could muster one run on a fielder's choice as they fall to the Phillies 2-1 in 10 innings. So that's the good news.
That's the bad news.
Well, but the 2-1 is the good news.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But no, the good news is.
Why don't you just tell me what the good news is?
The pitching.
Okay.
The pitching is hanging on here. The Phillies, one of the best teams in the league. So the fact that the Brewers are keeping them from scoring is a moral victory in some way. They used Jared Koenig again to start the game. So he started yesterday's game 2 days ago as well.
They just consecutive starts, right?
Yes. Dozen inning, maybe an inning and a third. Then they bring in their normal starter, i.e. Colin Ray, yesterday. Skipper Pat Murphy explained why he does this. He was on with us yesterday on Wisconsin's Morning News.
It gives the normal starting pitcher an opportunity to pitch the same amount of time, but not have to face the tougher part of the order as much.
Yeah, so his point being that if you avoid Bryce Harper, Schwarber and those guys, and you have a lefty come in there and take care of them, that gives Colin Ray, i.e. from yesterday, a chance to pitch the same amount of time and not have to get beat up by those guys. Ray,
especially for
well.
Those great hitters, right?
Yes.
They say they start figuring you out.
Mm-hmm,
you
right.
know, so when you're facing them a third time, perhaps?
Yes, then there can be trouble. So four innings, four okay. hits for Colin Ray, no runs. It wasn't until the eighth when Elvis Peguero gave up that solo shot that ultimately would lead to them losing the game in the 10th inning. It wasn't meant to be. Day baseball today as the crew look to avoid the sweep. 3 p.m. first pitch, 2:30 pregame right here on WDTMJ.
Packers off today, back at it tomorrow. One final day of OTAs. Packers quarterback Jordan Love. His second year as a starter, yes, but fifth season with the Green Bay Packers, says he and head coach Matt LaFleur are growing their relationship.
I think me and Matt have a much better feel for each other. I have a better feel of what Matt's seeing and why he's calling plays, what he likes certain plays versus. So I think that relationship is just building. It's just getting better and better. But Matt's awesome. You know, everybody loves and respects Matt.
I don't know what that means.
No, he knows what that means. OTAs wrap up tomorrow. Mandatory mini camp next week. And the Admirals, boy, couldn't get anything going at the UWM Panther Arena. They lost 5-2 to Coachella Valley, and they are now down 3-0 in their series. They're trying to make it to the Calder Cup Finals, but doesn't look good. The Ads need you tomorrow night. Puck drops Thursday night at UWM Panther Arena at 7 p.m. Keith?
It certainly is for a lot of folks, or pretty soon anyway. The school year is quickly wrapping up. Finals week for a lot of schools. A
lot of schools wrap up this week, right?
Yeah, or maybe next
yeah.
at the latest. Joining us on the WDTMJ Tri-County Contracting Hotline is our favorite chemistry teacher from South Milwaukee High School, Ms. Fremming. Is it final week for you, Ms. F?
Yeah, good morning. Yes, it is. Finals start today.
So
in
how's
about
that?
10 minutes.
How are you?
Ooh, 10 minutes. All right.
So are there nervous kids walking around the hallways there biting their pencils?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And some just fine because they didn't study. But most of them are, yes, most of them are nervous.
That's a hard part about high school, though. Like, it with finals being what they are, and sometimes you're at school, or sometimes you have this hour final, or sometimes you don't. Like, you don't have that, like, yeah. one last day, one last moment, right?
Yeah, that's kind of true because our seniors had last Friday was kind of their last day. And then, yeah, it kind of trickles down then for the other classes. So you're right. We don't have that kind of final one like they do in middle school or elementary school.
Do you take it personally when they do poorly, when they bomb on a test?
Sometimes. It kind of depends on the student, especially those that I've worked so hard and wanted them to do so well. So sometimes I do, you know, and it just makes me feel bad sometimes. But of course, all of my students do really well.
Of course.
Of course they do, right. Not that it would be expected, but any of the students bringing you a little thanks for everything, Ms. Fremming gift?
Oh, yeah.
Little
yes.
end of the year, end of the career at high school gift?
I do. I
what
get
are we getting?
A lot of, oh gosh, I've gotten coffee mugs. I collect coffee mugs. So I've gotten lots of different coffee mugs, some really funny, some really sweet, you know, gift cards. And I've gotten some of the sweetest notes. And I'm kind of a crier, so it made me cry. So I've gotten some wonderful things. My students are just amazing.
Now,
I've been very lucky.
Do you correspond? Do you make friends with some of these students? I imagine you still talk to some of them even years, decades after they've graduated?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I do. Actually, one that I'm very proud of, Jess, she works for the Chiefs. And she was just at the White House. And so she and I were kind of writing back and forth. So that was pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, oh, lots of students that I'm so proud of and so thankful to still be in touch with.
And so you're chemistry, right?
Yeah, chemistry and forensic science.
So I bet what you really love is someone who's gone into that field, right? And has said like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm making it in this field. What you taught me helped me on that next level in college and beyond.
It is pretty amazing. I absolutely love that. And I've had actually a lot of students go into forensics, especially at like UW-Platteville. They have a great program there. And so they'll go into forensics there. And I do hear a lot like what I learned in your class really helped me. And I love that. Although I do have to say, I do love the students that, you know, Ms. Fremming, I did not like chemistry, but I love coming to your class every day. So I like that too.
Hadn't used the thing you taught me for that whole year.
But
however,
cool.
I really liked you.
So, I had fun. I just don't like the class. Yeah.
So graduation for South Milwaukee High is tomorrow. Do you have to play a role in that?
So I always do. So I've been teaching 20 years, and I've been there doing graduation stuff for almost every year, and I've never missed one. except I will miss this one, which I am heartbroken for. But my son is graduating eighth grade, as you know, Eric. So, mm-hmm. So I am going to be there. And my students were actually very upset. They said, well, why, we didn't get an eighth grade graduation. I said, well, that's because it was COVID. And then they said, well, what, do you love him more? And I said, well, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, he is my also, son. You can keep your eighth grade graduation, frankly.
I think they call it something else. It's like called advancement okay. or something like that, right?
It's oh, not even... yeah.
Well, congratulations on another successful year. Assume you're going to be back at South Milwaukee High next?
I'll be back next year, absolutely.
Thank you, Ms. Fremming.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye-bye. So,
good end of the school year check-in. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah, yeah. We'll check in again on first day of school.
First day of school. She's our person.
She has a final here in 3 minutes. She's got to start.
Good luck, kids.
There.
Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering joins us live from Philadelphia in Brewers 360 at 7:45.
This morning in Florida, an Atlas V rocket will try once again to launch Boeing's Starliner capsule. The mission to the International Space Station has been plagued with delays. Some are recent. Others go back years. It's a critical flight for the astronauts and the ground crew with Boeing's battered reputation on the line. The astronauts inside the capsule as we speak. CBS's Mark Strass.
This is a milestone moment for them, for Boeing, and for NASA, the first crewed flight of a next-generation spacecraft. Only the sixth time in NASA history that the space agency has ever put astronauts aboard a new spacecraft for the first time. Boeing designed and built Starliner, but it's years behind schedule, more than $1 billion over budget.
So launch is set for 9:52-ish local central time, our time. So it should happen this morning if it's going to happen, but it's been delayed multiple times.
This is getting into geeky sort of weeds here, but because I'm into it, I'll offer this. You know, like,
all right.
So Boeing's designed the top of the rocket,
yes.
Okay, the spacecraft. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. The rocket they're talking about that puts it up in orbit, the Atlas, no, it's fifth generation Atlas, but this thing's been around since the beginning of manned spaceflight. Even before that, it was a military rocket. Mm. So it's a reliable rocket. It's the top end that Boeing's designed
right.
That's new and different and desperately needs a win. 7:37 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We're sponsored by Annex Wealth Management's Money Talk. That's heard Saturdays at 10 right here on WTMJ. At 7:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. A couple of things for you to check out online. You text BANDIT to 855-616-1620 and HEIST to the same number. So you need to text us twice. We'll send you both things that we'll be talking about once again later next hour. One was a guy who stole a brisket from somebody's smoker up north. I guess northwest, Eau Claire area.
They were smoking overnight, and there's video of him sneaking into the backyard.
Helped himself to the whole hunk of meat.
Licks his fingers.
Walked off with it. Surveillance video of that. And HEIST is this business with Giannis Antetokounmpo apparently has a movie project in the works, and it's supposed to be a fiction story, like an action.
Yeah, like an Ocean's 11 heist movie that he's producing, according to Variety. And so we wanted to know what the movie could be about. So Pancake typed into ChatGPT, what if Giannis was part of the film? And the synopsis that AI provided us is phenomenal, and that's also on the website.
It's not an unwatchable scenario.
No,
you're kind of like, this
good.
Might be an okay movie. And maybe that's all they did. I mean, Giannis is busy.
Right, yeah, he can't.
What if it were this?
But you got to wonder nowadays, professional athletes are becoming more and more as performers and entertainers all the time. Could you actually, if you were Giannis, pull in some of your buddies and like get some of these guys in there for a heist movie filmed in Greece, which is not unprecedented, by the way, and make yourself a film?
Okay, both of those available for you online. Again, the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620. We'll go live to Philadelphia and talk with Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering. That is next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
Milwaukee Admirals up against it now. Got to win Thursday night. They continue their Western Conference Finals series, losing 5-2 Tuesday night to Coachella Valley. So the Firebirds are now up 3-0 in the series. 7 o'clock, puck drops at UWM Panther Arena tomorrow.
One run. The Brewers' offense could only muster one run on a fielder's choice as they fall to the Phillies again, 2-1, this time in extra innings. It took 10 innings for the Phils to win. Now, the Phillies, one of the best teams in baseball, they're hanging with them, says manager Pat Murphy, however.
But playing them tough, you don't get any points in the win column. So no. It's all about beating them.
Yep, gotta beat them. Day baseball today as the crew look to avoid the sweep. 3 p.m. first pitch, 2:30 pregame, right here on WDTMJ Radio.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited, and we've got Brewers play-by-play man Jeff Levering on the line with us this morning. Hey, Level.
Hey, good morning, fellas. What's happening?
Out in Philadelphia, taking in any sights? What are you up to? I mean, I guess no time this morning, but do you have any time last couple of days? Go see the Rocky statue? What?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I got to pay homage to Rocky, to the Rocky Steps. I love running down the Schuylkill River here, which is great. Schuylkill is the one that doesn't look like it's spelled like Schuylkill, but that's how you say it. That's the one that goes behind the art museum past Rocky. It's a great spot. No Liberty Bell this time. It did all that sightseeing stuff last time I was here, though.
Jeff Levering with us this morning. Hey, we asked the skipper about it yesterday, Level, but this idea of sort of in the pitching regards, an opener as opposed to a starter. So you bring in Jared Koenig again, throws a handful of pitches. Actually, Jared went into the second, I believe, yesterday.
Yep,
but
yep.
Previous night only threw 5 pitches to get out of the first. And then you bring in who otherwise would have been your starter. You want to walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a strategy, especially against a lineup like this. We saw it with the Red Sox, too, where you get a bunch of lefties. And you see it a lot with left-handed starters rather than right-handed starters, but you're doing it to face left-handed batters, and you want to see if the manager is going to try and make some sort of a play to adjust the lineup, to bring some right-handers in there and maybe put their lefties down in the lineup so they don't have as many at-bats in a particular ball game. But the way that Kyle Schwarber swings it against lefties, the way Bryce Harper swings it against lefties, Rob Thompson didn't make the adjustment. Canning's been really, really good. And some of it as well is if you have a starting pitcher that struggles in the first inning or takes a little bit of time to get ready, this gives him an opportunity to do that. Colin Ray's done it twice. He's looked really, really good 2 times out of the bullpen once Canning has been the opener.
Will this become the norm, do you think? Will we see this more and more from teams across the league?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was pretty in vogue about 7 or 8 years ago when Tampa Bay would do it because they didn't have the depth in their starting rotation. So they would just have these openers all the time. Saw it a couple times last year. Trevor McGill even did it a couple of times towards the end of the season, just so you have that quote unquote closer guy that comes in to face the top 3 guys in the order. And then they're seeing somebody different for the bulk innings. I don't know if you're going to see it a ton. A big question mark is how the Brewers starting rotation is. You know, they were TBD until yesterday. We know that Aaron Ashby is going to start today. So it might be a situation where you're running out of arms at times. So you're just trying to go bulk with some of your bullpen guys.
On the offensive side, Level, it just seems like runners in scoring position, as much of an issue as that's been for the crew, they've sort of covered it up because there's been enough offense
right, where
you get away with it like we did against Chicago. But, boy, runners in scoring position, it just seems like it is a tough thing for this team.
Well, one of the best batting averages in baseball with runners in scoring position. It's really, really odd.
Yes, statistically, yes, and yet it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, you have a lot of 1-for-8s, kind of like you did last night. They had opportunities in game 1, had a guy thrown out at the plate twice. This is a really good Phillies team. They pitch extremely well. The Brewers just haven't had that big hit in the series. And hopefully they can do it today, but they're going to face Aaron Nola. They're facing the 3 best pitchers the Phillies have, and they're just on a burner right now, playing really good baseball. I think the Brewers are going to be fine. The weird thing to me is that they hit so much better with runners at first and second or second and third than they do with the bases loaded. They are 27th in the league with the bases loaded. It is the darndest thing. But they'll figure it out. They're doing fine. They score runs in a lot of different ways. They're going to be fine. It's just a couple of weird games in Philadelphia.
Need to take one in Philly this afternoon. Thanks, Level. 3 p.m. first pitch in Philadelphia. 7:49, Mark Tauscher next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
Who wants to spell Spondy?
I'm going to try it.
Innovator.
S-P-O-N-D-E-E with one of those little deals on the top of it. Spondy.
Right. And Packers Hall of Famer.
Let's see if that's accurate.
Spondy. S-P-O-N-D-E-E. E-E, Spondy.
That is correct.
Very good.
Let's go.
Yes. You and Aiden.
Let's go.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services.
All right, Tausch, so let's put this on the old live stream. So we have this up on the old YouTube page. Streaming now, you can watch the video along with us. So earlier this week in Eau Claire, family on the north side of the city there was smoking a brisket overnight. I don't know if you've ever smoked a brisket, Tausch, but it's awesome.
I have, before we get to the video, are you guys meat smokers? Do you guys like smoking meat?
I like eating smoked meat.
I'm with E. I like eating it, but like I don't want to have to read a book on how to prepare it, and I do not have 12 or 14 or 16 hours to let something sit there.
Yeah, it's a super complicated. So, you know, Joe Thomas, who is a master meat smoker, you ask him, and pork shoulder and pork butt, easy to smoke. Brisket, which I know we're getting to, I've tried it twice. The problem is there's such a fine line between over smoking and making it rubbery and not getting it. It's the hardest one. I maybe somebody out there has a tougher meat to smoke. But I can understand why someone up in Eau Claire is doing what they're doing with that brisket.
So overnight, they were smoking this brisket. Here's how it sounded.
Oh, it sounds good. It smells good, doesn't it?
In the morning, when they lifted up the lid, the 12 pounds of meat gone. So they checked the old video on their surveillance ring camera, and a suspect is seen walking into the victim's backyard, licking their fingers and taking away the 12 pounds of smoked deliciousness.
Not before he pulled a little taste off, too, first Tausch. He did a little,
not rubbery. This is good.
Yeah, I think so. As I was saying, we did this one time, and we were going to take some of the brisket over to our neighbors, but it was too rubbery. My wife is like, don't give any of this brisket. So if you're going to go through and do this and just walk off with that 12 pounds of brisket, you don't want it to be rubbery. If you're going to steal a brisket and go through this whole process. So that gate is wide open, it looks like.
Yeah.
I'm assuming old boy out in Eau Claire is thinking, nobody's stealing my brisket. But what's the first thing you do if you're at a, you know, at a brat for you get those smells and all of a sudden, instantaneously, your mouth starts watering.
This is true.
And it's almost like a centrifugal force is pulling you over to that meat.
The tractor beam.
If you're going to, you have to at least take a dabble, because the last thing you want to do is steal a rubbery brisket.
So you're suggesting that this guy's really not at fault, much like a dog.
No.
Piece of meat on the counter.
That is not what
a dog can't control.
What I am saying is, I understand the pull and the allure. I'm never going to be on board with stealing anything. That's just not no. But I'm telling you, if you're going to go through this process, first off, you probably look, make sure they don't have a ring camera, and then second, or a security system, and then second, if you're going to steal it, you want to make sure it's a good brisket. Whatever happens, I'm sure this guy's going to get in trouble. I don't know if you get, like, what kind of jail sentence if you have to end up going and smoking meats at a shelter or something like that to pay community service. I don't know what it is, but I think the process of what he's doing by testing it, that would be the one positive that I would give him out of this whole thing.
This guy knew what sort of brisket he was looking to steal.
How did he carry it out? So he's got the big
bag. Looked like a little piece of foil, didn't it?
Did he just lug it out with his hands?
I think he has it on something.
Yeah.
Like some type of foil plate or something.
Put this right here. I'll put this in my backpack and get out of here. Go home
and
enjoy.
So this, I mean, this is not like some random thing. This is a premeditated. I've been seeing this cat smoking this meat all night. I always thought you had to take care of the meat. You can't just let it sit for 10 hours. I thought it was an hourly thing that you have to go out and make sure it's staying juicy. So he must have timed it, saw old boy go into the house, and then decided, because I don't think you just leave a meat smoking for 10 hours unattended.
Or he was just upset. Hey, I got to take care of this meat because this guy cooking it ain't doing it right.
he saved that meat.
I actually think, fellas, you should try to get one of those two on. I'd like to hear the full story
absolutely.
On what happened with that meat.
If you'd like to see the Bandit in action, just text the word Bandit to the WDTMJ,
brisket
talking text line.
Yes. He's got to be the Brisket Bandit.
No, well,
right?
Bandit's just easier to text. Bandit, 855-616-1620.